Our text is the epistle lesson appointed for today, chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verses 1 through 8. St. Paul writes, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. And for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension." This is our text. And I like to use this text, don't you? I like to use this text to show, for example, that when we talk about God's will, we have to be careful. Because here's something that God wants. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Something that God wants that doesn't happen. I like to use this text to show that there's a connection between peace, outwardly, earthly peace, and the spread of the gospel, that those two can kind of go together, that somehow God's desire for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth combines with this idea of us leading a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. I like to use this text. I'm not so sure I like to preach this text. I'm not so sure I like this text to use me. Because when I do, it points up some things that I don't really like about myself at all, especially about my prayer life. Now, there may be some of you sitting out there whose prayer life is already perfected, but mine has not arrived there yet. This talks about praying for all men, and especially for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. I don't mind praying that. I mind praying for. Because while in a society with a real king, you understand, not an elected leader, but one who is just kind of there, it might be okay to pray for him, because you're kind of stuck with him. But to pray for an elected leader that you don't like, what's going to happen there? You know, if you just like pray for him, well, I'd rather pray that he than for him. I can remember not too long ago praying that a certain elected leader might rediscover the joys of private life before his time. You know, I can think of some leaders in other parts of the world that are causing a lot of troubles, and I would like to pray that he would be guided by the Lord to a bridge that NATO is taking out very soon. It's kind of like in Anatevka, where they asked the rabbi, "Is there a blessing for the Tsar?" And he says, "May God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us." I don't mind praying that God would do some particular thing that I prefer to some of these leaders that I don't particularly like. But St. Paul doesn't really say that. He says that I should pray for them, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And there's a part of me that still says, well, I could pray for them in such a way that they'd be out of our way so we could do this. But I don't think that's there in this text. How do you pray for one in authority in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity? I don't think it's just by mistake that the next sentence is, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." In other words, I suspect that the prayer that should be made for kings and all who are in authority would be the prayer, "Thy kingdom come," would be the prayer that talks about God's kingdom of grace coming into the lives even of those in authority that I would just as soon found a different way, that God had some different plan for them. But then there's that Isaiah text that says that God's ways are not my ways. That when I am praying that God would do a certain thing that I prefer, I may very well not be doing what he calls me to do here. In order for me to pray for kings and all who are in authority, and in fact, on behalf of all men, the way that God wants me to pray for them, I think something has to happen to me. There has to be a knocking down of my pride that says, "I know, God, how you can fix these things." There has to be a recognition that I don't have the plan that will solve the problems of the world already figured out. In fact, there has to be a recognition that I myself am one of those who needs to be saved, one of those who needs to come to the knowledge of the truth, one of those who constantly needs God's grace in my life to change me inside, so that when I'm praying to God, that my will conforms to his will, that there's no prayer there that says, "God, will you please hurry up and conform your will to mine," but that mine conforms to his. In other words, I have to pray as a certain kind of person. Only if I am that certain kind of person will I really desire good for all of those in authority. Only then will I be able, in fact, to take my whole being, my will, and offer to God a prayer that says, "Here are people who are in need of your grace and your forgiveness, like I am. Grant that grace and forgiveness to them in order that I and the rest of your children might live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." I just have this sneaking suspicion that perhaps there were people in the Roman Empire back in the early 300s AD who were offering that kind of prayer, perhaps without any hope, any idea that it would ever happen that the Roman emperor might convert to Christianity. And you can question the nature of that conversion. I'm not talking about that, but it seems interesting to me that God's choice of answering those prayers was such an unexpected turn of events. We can look at our politicians today and say it would be equally unexpected that God would choose to enter into their lives and reveal himself as the God who loves and forgives, as the God that not only gave the Ten Commandments, but gave what it takes to live a life according to them, a life pleasing to him, namely his forgiveness and his Holy Spirit. It's far too easy for me to think I know the only way, when in fact God has said, pray for all men, pray for kings and all who are in authority. If I see myself as having the same needs they have, if I see myself as capable of the same misdeeds that they're capable of, then I can pray that. I don't think there's any other way. If I see myself as a sinner who needs Christ's body and blood to forgive me and to wash away my sins and to give me the power to live a new and different life, if I see myself as that needy person, then and only then can I offer the prayer that God calls for in this text. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension, St. Paul says. Will that happen any other way
than the way that starts at this rail. May God grant that kind of life that yields that kind of prayer life to us all, for Jesus' sake. Amen.